Chapter 7. After Darcy got Grandma to the bathroom and back, the old woman fell asleep. Darcy knew there would be no apology from Grandma later. Her grandmother probably wouldn't even remember the ugly incident. Darcy returned to the kitchen, where Jamie sat reading a magazine about her favorite rap stars, her head wrapped in a giant bath towel. "Where have you been?" Darcy snapped. "You know, you could help with Grandma once in a while."
"I was in a shower," Jamie yelled.
"And I did spend time with Grandma today. I got home early from school and I took her for a ride in her wheelchair. We went all the way down to the park. She listened to the birds singing and had a really good time," Jamie said defensively.
"Well, maybe that's why she was in such a bad mood. She isn't used to so much excitement and she got confused and angry," Darcy grumbled.
"Man," Jamie fumed, "I can't do anything right, can I?
Why don't you just go to France with old Aunt Charlotte? You're getting just like her. We'll get along fine without you."
Darcy slumped into a kitchen chair. "I had a real bad day," she confessed. In the old days, Jamie would not accept an apology. Now she was more mellow.
"Yeah, I get those days too," Jamie said, sounding for the moment even older than her 14 years. "Days like that make you want to scream as loud as you can, no matter who's watching. Like when I do bad on some stupid test or get zits right when I'm trying to look good for Tyrone."
Darcy smiled a little. "You know what? I'm finally going to dinner with Dad," she said.
"Get out of here," Jamie cried. "Are you serious? That's great. When are you going?"
"Wednesday at 6. I'm really nervous," Darcy said. "I guess I don't know how to act around him since he came back. He's our dad, but it doesn't feel right."
"Darcy, know what? I heard him and Mom talking on the phone about going to one of those marriage counselors. Dad wants to, but Mom doesn't. I don't know if it'd be good or not. I just wish..."
Jamie struggled for words.
"I just don't want Mom to grow old alone. She needs someone. If it's not Dad, then it'd be somebody else, and I wouldn't like that. Would you?"
"No," Darcy admitted. "I guess I wouldn't."
"You know," Jamie said, "I'm so glad you're going to dinner with Dad. When we went to dinner the other day, Dad kept going on and on about how he was scared you'd never forgive him. He was just hoping so much that you'd talk to him."
Darcy knew Jamie secretly hoped that somehow the family would come together again. Of course, it can never be like before, Darcy thought. But how different would it be? Like Grandma said,
"Life is full of hurts, Angel Cake. But they always make us stronger if we learn from them."
It was hard for Darcy to get to sleep that night. She kept imagining how the beach date with Hakeem might have gone. And then she had a fitful dream about it. She and Hakeem were walking hand in hand across the cooling beach, and the sun was going down quickly, turning the water crimson. They were walking together toward the water, into the blazing red sunset. Hakeem stopped and rolled up the legs of his jeans, and they went into the water and the foamy sea lapped at their ankles. Darcy shouted to Hakeem to be careful, but he let go of her hand and kept walking into the surf. He went out farther and farther until the glowing sky and the sparkling waves seemed to swallow him up. Darcy screamed Hakeem's name as he started to swim towards the horizon. She stared after him, the dying sun blinding her, until she could not see him anymore. She was overcome with a numbing desolation. He was gone. Hakeem was gone. Then Darcy awoke with a start. She could hear Grandma mumbling about Alabama in the next room. Grandma seemed to be all right, so Darcy didn't get up. Grandma often mumbled in her sleep. Darcy tried to get back to sleep, but she kept thinking about Hakeem. How much longer would he remain interested in her if she never had time for him? The next morning, Darcy tried to eat the scrambled eggs and bacon that Mom made, but she could hardly get them down. She was not superstitious, but the dream troubled her. Losing Hakeem to the sea seemed like some terrible omen. Darcy was eager to get to school and be reassured that everything was all right between them. Darcy was almost at Bluford when another girl walked alongside her. She was in two classes with Darcy, but they were not friends. The girl's eyes gleamed with excitement over the gossip she was eager to share.
I thought you and Hakeem Randall were sort of going together, she began.
We're friends, Darcy said quickly, trying to head off the gossip.
Yeah, well, Tara Carson said you guys were going together. And so I was really surprised when Brisana told me she and Hakeem went to the beach yesterday afternoon.
The girl stared expectantly at Darcy, obviously waiting for her reaction. Darcy gave her a steely look and shrugged.
I guess it's still a free country. Hakeem can do anything he wants.
Darcy walked on alone then, her insides churning with hurt. Was Hakeem so shallow that he turned right around and asked Brisana to that romantic beach date? At lunchtime, Hakeem and Cooper came walking up to where Darcy and Tara were eating. The boys were talking about music. Cooper was singing the praises of rap, and Hakeem was saying that soft, smooth ballads had more lasting impact.
My grandpa said that Nat King Cole was the best singer he ever heard, Hakeem said. I do give him credit for his time, man, Cooper conceded. But he's not for now. Music today tells what's going on in the hood. I can relate to it more than some old guy singing about stuff that went down 50 years ago.
Come on, man, Hakeem smiled. You need to open your mind to something different.
Yeah, maybe when I'm an old dude myself, Cooper laughed.
So, Darcy said matter-of-factly, did you get to do anything yesterday afternoon, Hakeem?
Oh, yeah, it worked out real good, Hakeem answered. I was sorry I had to go home early, Darcy said, but Grandma needed me. She struggled to keep the bitterness out of her voice. I'm glad you didn't waste the afternoon.
Before Hakeem could say anything else, the two guys from the track team came over to the table and announced that the team was having a meeting during lunch.
I guess I gotta go, Hakeem said reluctantly, getting up from the table.
Coop and I gotta go too, Tara said, smiling at Cooper.
Coop's got a test in his next class, and we're gonna make sure he gets a B.
I'll catch up with you after lunch, she explained. Cooper pushed his chair away from the table and stood up.
Girl, you are worse than my mama, he said as he walked off.
For an instant, Darcy was completely alone at the table, and then she spotted Brisana walking toward her, a tight-lipped smile on her face. Darcy rolled her eyes and braced herself.
Guess you heard about me and Hakeem, Brisana said.
Excuse me? Darcy said, flipping through her science book. Can we talk about this later? I've got some reading to do.
Hakeem and I went to the beach and we went swimming, Brisana purred. And it was oh so romantic.
I can't imagine why you're telling me all this, Darcy replied coolly.
Brisana came closer.
Don't give me that, Darcy. You're crazy about Hakeem.
But he doesn't feel that way about you. You're just another girl to him, and not a very special one either. So now you know how it feels to be dumped.
You and I were friends, and you dropped me the second you got your trashy new friends.
Darcy looked up, surprised by the rage on Brisana's face.
I didn't dump you. I wanted us to stay friends. You stopped being my friend when I started talking to Tara and Cooper and those other kids. I mean, you wanted it to be just us, but I didn't want to shut out everybody else.
You knew how I felt about those two losers. You knew it ruined our friendship and you dragged them in. It was like inviting ants to a picnic.
Rosanna's voice trembled with anger.
You knew, but you did it anyway.
You were my only close friend.
You dumped me so you can get in solid with a bunch of trash.
Well, now you know what it feels like to have a special friend you trust and then have that friend ditch you.
Brisana turned quickly and stalked off. Darcy was amazed. She had always thought of Brisana as a tough, arrogant person whose feelings never seemed to get hurt. But now that she thought about it, Darcy realized that she never really knew Brisana. They were each other's lunch companions since freshman year at Bluford, but in all that time, Darcy thought, they had never talked about deep things, real things. They had just been someone for the other person to be with, to keep from eating alone.
But am I to blame?
Darcy asked herself.
Brisana brought it on herself.
She could have joined Darcy and her new friends. It was her choice, her decision. When Darcy found Tara, she told her everything that had happened.
Girl, Tara said, she's hurting. Even mean people hurt. Maybe they hurt worse than anybody.
So what you gotta do is reach out to her.
Tara, Darcy almost shrieked. She's bragging about going to the beach with Hakeem. I just about hate her.
She says she and Hakeem were swimming.
Oh, come on, girl. It's 50-something degrees in the water, Tara laughed. You know about that girl and her wild imagination.
But I know she was out with him, and I'm sure they walked the beach together, and...
Darcy Wills,
you sit yourself down and listen up, Tara commanded. Hakeem told Coop that Brisana told him he could pick up her brother's guitar yesterday since he wasn't doing anything else. Now what don't you understand about that?
You mean she was lying about the beach?
Hello? Lights coming on in your brain, girl? She is so lonesome and angry, all she knows how to do now is hurt other people. You think you're big enough to look past all she's done and try to make her better, Darcy?
I'm going to be real disappointed if you say no, because that means you ain't as special as I always figured, Tara said.
Darcy shrugged. Come on, let's go to class, Tara said, putting her arm around Darcy's shoulder and leading her forward. After school, Darcy heard guitar music coming from the courtyard behind the library. She walked over and found Hakeem sitting on a bench practicing on the new guitar. Nearby, Brisana pretended she was reading a book, but from time to time she glanced at Hakeem and Darcy.
Hi, Hakeem, Darcy said. You sound great.
It's this guitar. It makes a big difference, he explained.
Brisana's brother's guitar, huh?
Yeah, we got it yesterday.
Darcy looked over at Brisana and shouted,
Hey, Brisana!
Brisana hesitated. Darcy could imagine what was going through her mind. What is Darcy up to now? She's found out from Hakeem that we didn't have this romantic beach date, and now she wants to humiliate me. Brisana got up slowly, walking warily towards Hakeem and Darcy. She looked nervous, defensive.
This guitar is so great, Brisana, Darcy said warmly.
I mean, it was really nice that you let Hakeem have it. Doesn't he sound good when he plays?
Much better than on his other guitar.
Brisana stared at Darcy, then at Hakeem.
I'm glad it's working out, she mumbled.
Yeah, it's real smooth. Thanks a lot, Brisana, Hakeem said.
Brisana, I'm practicing for the auditions too, only I don't know what to sing. The auditorium is probably empty right now, and I was thinking of going over there and trying out a couple of songs.
Would you come listen and tell me which song sounds better? Darcy asked.
Me?
Yeah, if you got the time.
I mean, I'm embarrassed to try out my songs in front of everybody else, but you've known me for long enough to see me be stupid plenty of times, Darcy said.
A tiny smile flickered in Brisana's eyes.
Okay, let's go. But if you stink, you know I'll tell you.
Darcy and Brisana walked towards the auditorium with Darcy chattering the whole time.
I wanted to sing something new, but Hakeem says I should do a classic song, and my mom wants me to sing this old Aretha Franklin song from when she was a kid. There's no way I could sing like her.
Darcy nervously mounted the stage with an audience of one, Brisana. Darcy tried her best to get her voice to sound like Aretha Franklin's. As she finished, Brisana howled,
Give me a break. Oh, that's so awful that if you sing it, you'll never live it down. You'll have to wear a brown paper bag over your head for the rest of the year.
That bad, huh? Darcy groaned.
Let's hear one of the songs you did at that freshman talent show ages ago. You did a Supreme song. Stop in the Name of Love. Try that.
Darcy's self-confidence was shattered, but she did remember doing a pretty good job on that old Supreme song. She sang it for Brisana as best as she could. Brisana didn't say anything during the song, but when Darcy finished, she said,
That might work. You'll have to practice a lot more, but it's not horrible.
Darcy was very relieved. Now, at least she knew what she could sing at the auditions. She didn't expect to get into the talent show, but at least she wouldn't make a fool of herself.
Thanks a lot, Brisana.
Hey, I got some time before I have to go home. Want to get a sundae?
Our regular sinful sundae with butterscotch and nuts on top?
Yeah. They hurried down the street and settled into the booth on the side where they always used to sit.
Oh, man, Darcy said. I haven't had one of these since, you know.
I know, Brisana said. She looked right at Darcy.
I just don't like your new friends.
I just don't. I've missed you, Brisana. Maybe we used to be such good friends, Darcy,
Brisana interrupted, spinning her spoon around in the sundae.
Then all of a sudden you just dropped me like I never existed.
That's not true, Darcy began calmly. We never knew Tara and Cooper, but we said bad things about them anyway.
Well, I got to know them, and I found out that they were really nice. I gave them a chance. You never tried to.
Brisana shifted her eyes to her melting mush of ice cream.
Maybe we can get some time together like in the old days. Just us, Darcy said.
Yeah, that'd be okay. I like that, Brisana replied.
And we could go to the mall again.
Brisana smiled.
Yeah, man, this Sunday is so good. I haven't enjoyed anything like this in a long time.
Darcy smiled back at Brisana. Brisana didn't mean she was enjoying only the Sunday, but she would never admit it, and Darcy would let it go at that. Like Tara said once while they were helping set up a neighborhood garden on the block, friendships are like trees. If you give them time and space to grow, they'll get stronger and stronger. Darcy jogged past the familiar landmarks on the way home, the Asian market, the restaurants. They were all blurs as she ran. She didn't want Mom to be late for work, and she had dawdled over the butterscotch sundae too long.
I'm home, Mom, Darcy yelled as she came in the front door. Okay, baby. Mom did not seem as rushed as usual. In fact, she looked relaxed.
Her hair was freshly done, and she was wearing a flattering new shade of lipstick.
Mom, you look great, Darcy exclaimed.
Mom giggled. She looked younger than she had in years.
Oh, get out of here, girl. I'm the same old, same old.
Darcy watched her mother go out to the car. Was it possible that she was meeting someone during her break tonight? She always ate a snack in the cafeteria, and once or twice Dad met her there. Would she be trying to look extra nice for him? After all that had happened, would she be doing that, or was there someone else? Had seeing Dad again and facing the past helped her to realize that it would never work the second time around? Maybe that handsome Jamaican RN who had called her mother a few months ago was back in the picture. Or perhaps that retired doctor had returned to the hospital to visit one of his former patients. Darcy felt nervous. She didn't know if it was better to conjure up a new man for her mother or hope for her father's return to the household. Still, if it became absolutely certain that they could never be a family again, something inside Darcy would die.